This is a production of Cornell University.
Essay meeting September 6th.
Excuse.
Yes, sir.
Here. He's in front of you. Here.
Yes.
Here. Excuse.
Excuse.
Here.
At this point in the meeting, the Executive Vice President will conduct open microphone.
Good afternoon, everyone. At this time, we'd like to invite all undergraduate students who would like to speak on something that's not on the agenda to come forward. State your name and year for the record. All right, don't line up all at once. Thank you.
Okay, we'll now move on to the approval of the minutes for the meeting on August 30th, 2007. The minutes should be in your packet, so go ahead and look those over. I'll be accepting motions.
Call for acclamation.
Just going to call for acclamation. Is there a second?
Second.
Any dissent? See no dissent. The minutes are approved. Moving on to announcements and reports. Representative Basil has an UA announcement.
Hello. I just wanted to give a heads up about something the UA was talking about yesterday. Basically, the UA was considering a charter change that turned out to require trustee permission, so they kind of tabled that as a revisit though. But fundamentally what they're looking to do is create a family services committee, which will seek to, among other things, have oversight or at least guidance over what I was talking about last meeting in the child care facility. But I guess one important thing that has been like to keep an eye on is the fact that if they do amend their charter, that would extend the purview of the UA. Currently, the passage in Article 1, Section 3 of their charter reads, "The assembly shall have legislative authority over policies, activities, parks, transportation, religious works, health services, and anything else." So they would amend that to also include services provided to family, Cornell dependents, Baptist partners, parents, students, staff, and faculty. So they would be extending their authority over, as a debt service provided to family. And I guess one thing that could in some point potentially come in conflict with FAA's review of the residential life at some point, and it's probably not going to be of any concern, but I just wanted to bring it up. And the other thing is it also would give the UA and some of the other clauses some semi-authority of human resources, how human resources deals with faculty and staff. And the other thing is in the committee if they're talking about founding, they would also want the students on the 2.1 representative to the committee. So,
okay, Grace, you'll keep us updated whether or not we have to actually make the appointment. We have a question?
Actually, some questions. They actually approved the motion of resolution.
Okay. And you'll pass that on to us when the time comes. We'll make us aware of that.
Great.
Any other questions? Okay, see no other questions. We're going to move beyond my announcement for now. Move on to an essay philanthropy announcement from Vice President Nataraj.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to bring to your attention a couple of philanthropy events that are coming up. Tip the Canoe, sponsored by Cap Alpha Theta. So just a canoe relay race and Bytug, tug of war tournament. It would be great if we could get a team sent to both of these events, maybe two teams. I made an info sheet with the date and cost.
Okay.
If you want to sign up, just put your name down and I'll contact you. Thank you.
Any other questions for Arjun? All right, see no other questions. Are there any other announcements or reports? Vice President Lavin.
Just a quick announcement. Well, first, I want to introduce Lance Holliday. I don't know what everyone doesn't know him. He'll be our brief liaison. He'll represent IC Tech and the NGLC community. So, hi, Lance. Welcome aboard. just a reminder to everyone, the second announcement, please have your schedules cleared for September 29th, Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for our fall orientation for our retreat.
Any questions for Ryan? Okay. See no other questions. We have an announcement from Ryan.
Hey guys, just a quick update. The co-chairs of the SAFC have invited all of the student assembly members to come to budget hearings and to the tables of questions. So feel free to come Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, next week.
Can you just quickly send out some information on the SAFC list regarding those dates and times? Great. Thank you. Any questions for Ryan? Okay, see no other questions. Any other announcements or reports? See no other announcements or reports. Move on to business of the day. The first item on business of the day is the approval of the 2007-2008 Student Assembly budget from Vice President Gay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks, Alan. Good afternoon. Everybody has a copy of the proposed budget. We went through this at the executive board meeting on Tuesday evening, and so you can take a look at it. It's pretty straightforward. So I guess the most efficient thing to do is just go ahead and open it up for questions. So if anybody has any questions or concerns on this draft, we can go ahead and start discussing it.
Representative Asbury.
You just go to appropriations.
What's that?
You go to appropriations. Appropriate?
No, it's not about the appropriations. No, I'm
plan to put it to appropriations.
What's that?
Do you plan to have appropriations approved?
The student assembly is going to in terms of for byline or for this budget?
No, for this budget.
It doesn't, yeah, we can't just move on.
Your question was, has it gone through appropriations? Your answer was, no, it's not gone through appropriations. Do you have any other questions?
We need to go through appropriations before we look at it, but I'm going to ask a question about that. Can you explain to me what some of the activities, orientation, just said 700? I'm confused some of that's in reference to.
Okay, Ryan, do you want to ask this question?
I didn't hear you.
Orientation. Just describe it, orientation.
Oh, yeah. Or I was just giving you the date for it. We finished some of the fall retreat.
Okay.
Yes, okay, I'm sorry. We had to go for orientation.
And, going to this, I have a couple questions about the communications committee budget, but I guess I would say that we table this until it goes to appropriations and we actually have budgets from all the committees before we approve it, just because we have a budget for communications. There's no appropriations budget, and the rest of just the committee expenses $9,156. Is that $9,156 just an estimate based on a past number, or is it actual numbers you've got from the expenses so far?
That's going to be an aggregate of the expenditures by committees. At our discussion on Tuesday evening, it made sense that a lot of the activities which still aren't scheduled for this year will be run through committees. And instead of forcing, there's some things that can clearly be articulated, like the communications budget. It's very clear to set out how much it's going to cost to advertise, for example, the Shaw. And so for those committee expenses, instead of trying to break it out and discuss it, and once again, just like CJ's communications budget last year, it's very well.
Okay, 2 minutes expired. Are there any other questions?
Wait, point of order. Didn't we spend $3 million last week?
Not. Did we spend $3 million?
It was within the standing rules. It was 3 minutes.
How do we kept it? It was 3 minutes for the speakers. It was 3 minutes, right? All right, go on. You have one more minute.
So I'd like to get a full answer to these questions. How many expenses? Is that based on numbers? The chair suspension, or is it just left right of the budget and put it all together as 9150 is the number?
Right, at this point, it's for planning. It's for these committees, it's for them all, instead of forcing the committees to break down exactly what their plans are.
I understand. Okay. So, because I know, like, for example, on dining, I know that we have expenses, but I'm not sure if these chairs will contact to send them expenses. And are we just asking added questions here, or like, are we asking questions of the communications budget as well?
Yeah, this is through his presentation, so you're asking him questions. Your questions were directed at him just now.
Okay, well, I'm just not sure what what we're using promotional items for events for $1,000 for, or what development funding refers to on the communications committee budget.
Well, your time is up right now, so we're going to move on to somebody else. I'll put you on a second speaker's list. Representative Hartman.
Thank you, President Cooper. I was curious if we could get a copy of last year's budget so we could have a way of for student assembly members that were not in the assembly last year so they can understand like, what we're expensing like for last year. We won't make any
kind of
decisions.
Yeah, all of us on the assembly last year should receive a copy of the budget, but I'll be more than happy to get you a copy after the meeting to take a look at it.
Well, I think that's
for everybody. Yeah, that'd be helpful. We can go ahead and get that on for next week if you have to take a look at it.
Do you know what the total proposed budget was for last year? Was like around
off the top of my head, no.
Okay.
No.
Other questions?
I give my time back to the speaker.
Representative Faison.
This is a question for Ari and whoever can answer it, because I'm charged with planning the SUNY summit in October. Would the money for that be coming from the FA budget, or would that come from a different source?
Yeah, that could be coming from, that'd be coming from the committee expenses.
Okay. So there would be money in there for that?
Yes.
Okay.
Representative Ace Salem.
I'm actually going to motion to table the budget until next week, and then I would ask that we get the breakdown of what each committee is actually going to use as opposed to just an aggregate number, because we can't just approve a number. So there's a motion to table this budget until next week.
There's been a motion to table the budget until next week. There's a second. There's been a second. Is there any dissent?
I dissent.
You dissent.
I do my dissent.
You have 20 seconds.
Yeah, I just... would like us to go over the communications committee budget a little more.
Okay,
I'll
withdraw my motion.
So we can just discuss.
I withdraw my
motion's withdrawn. There's nobody on.
I still have my time, right? Is that correct?
We made the motion, so I just considered that at the end. There's nobody on the first speaker's list right now, so you can continue with another minute.
Okay. I'm actually going to put it. There's no one. I was going to just put it back to Vince to ask questions on the communications.
You yield your time to Representative Hartman. Okay. Representative Hartman.
I'm curious as to what the insert into Cornell does on 5,000 copies. What does that actually mean?
All right. Right. In the past, we've had we were just brainstorming on ways that we could distribute the newsletter, and since no one's going to read it if we put it in mailboxes. We can't do a mass emailing. I thought the best way to get it out would be to do an insert in the Cornell Daily Sun.
Okay, so it's like one insert, not 5,000.
No. So, yeah. And I'm also dropping, yeah. Do you have any other questions?
The extra minute that was yielded to you. There's nobody else in the first speaker's list. Slickling, Vice President Slickling.
I think we should send this to the Appropriations Committee, have them look at it before their byline funding hearings on Monday. They can make a recommendation for it, and then we can get a breakdown of the committee expenditures, and then we can vote on it on Thursday. So my motion is to send it to the Appropriations Committee.
There's been a motion to send it to the Appropriations Committee. There's been a second. Is there any dissent? Okay, I see no dissent. We don't have to vote for some dissent.
Nope.
All right, good to go. So this has been moved down. We'll check it out at the Appropriations Committee on Monday.
I motion to move resolutions 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 to business of the day.
I motion to move resolutions 2 through 6 to business of the day. Is there a second? There's dissent.
I withdraw my motion to move Resolution 2 and reissue my motion as Resolution 3 through 6.
It's been a motion to move Resolutions 3 through 6 to business of the day. Is there a second? There's been a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. Do you want to explain the dissent?
Why are we moving them? There's no urgency. I mean, the point of half moving something up to business of the day, there's urgency. That's the reason we do, but I just feel no explanation from all these resolutions we moved up. And then we also have the groups that we need to listen to. I think those
To the best of my knowledge, there's actually no representatives from the groups that are being byline funded here right now. We have about 25, 30 minutes until they're supposed to show up. All right, here's what we'll do. We'll move on with the resolutions right now for approximately 15 minutes. We'll take a 5-minute recess to look over the budget before the groups get here, and then we'll move right into the group, into the hearings for CUEMS. You have a question?
I want a motion.
All right, it's been a motion.
I'd like the motion to move resolution 6 to the today. So.
Well, there's already the motion on the table to move resolutions 3 through 6 today. Is there a second for that motion?
Second.
Second, is there any dissent? Okay, so resolutions 3 through 6 now on business of the day. So working our way down, we'll begin with resolution 3. Resolution requesting the implementation of gender-neutral housing in the residence halls, sponsored by Representative Hartman.
I'm in a motion.
Can I move second? Yeah. Do you think that, can you just move back to the finance to present us with all the committee budgets for next week? What are we reviewing?
The Vice President of Finance?
Yeah.
Just ahead of time?
No, just give it to us like documentation for next week's meeting. Just like for communication, so if we can get like SASB appropriations budget and the orientation budget as well.
All right, you guys, is that noted from the point of view? No. All right. All right, so Representative Hartman, you'll have 5 minutes to make your presentation.
Good afternoon, Assembly. Hope you guys had a chance to read over the resolution I brought forward. For the first part of the whereas, I'll explain why I did this. I first want to go into why I think this needs to occur, the requesting of gender-neutral housing in the residence hall, and then go into the Assembly actually has the power in our charter to mandate such a change. So, as you can tell, in the whereas clause, I'm asking that college students should have a right to choose their roommates based on their preferences, regardless of gender. Currently, in the upper classroom hall, you can only choose a male or a female. If you're a male, you can only choose a male, and if you're a female, you can only choose a female in current doubles, or if you go into on West. What I'm asking for is that we mandate to campus-like that undergraduates are allowed to choose either sex when we go into the residence hall during housing lottery for the fall or for the spring of 2007 and to carry on for the next couple of years, for the future years. As you can tell in the resolution, I've put in that Cornelians already can do this option off campus. And students can live with the opposite sex if they choose to do so. And as an institution of Cornell, it's not their duty to tell us what traditional policy and to give us guidance. As 18-year-olds or older, we are legal adults. And we have the choice to determine legally where and who we want to live with. And as adults, we can make the rational decision to live with the opposite sex. We don't need Cornell telling us that we're not rational or intelligent enough to make that decision. An argument that might come up is you might get roommates to be if a boyfriend and a girlfriend choose to live in the residence hall together and then they break up. Well, this is an occurrence that can occur with two best friends if they have a dispute. But also, we're overlooking the fact that currently members of the LGBT community can live together in the residence halls, in a relationship, and if there it goes sour, then they face the same consequences. What I'm asking for is just taking the policy that is available for the LGBTQ community to live in the residence hall together, making it universal. So the residence hall, and especially campus life, isn't assuming that we have a policy of heterosexuality, but we have one that is universal, that is applicable to all students, as Cornell community should be doing. We should be, as mandated by our open doors, open hearts, and open minds policy, be inclusive to all members of the Cornell community. And by not allowing Cornell students to live with members of the opposite gender, we're assuming this heterosexuality across all members of the Cornell student body.
You have 2 minutes left.
As you can tell in the master red clause, I did not do this, but I want to say it. Residence Hall, direct, remember the Residence Hall was Joper, who last year in the Cornell Bill of Science, said that gender-neutral housing is a thing that can occur at Cornell that just takes the student body and a push from them on the Cornell administration to tell them that this is something that we want and that we're interested in. Moving from separate housing in the 70s, where we only had women and men in separate housing, making that change was radical then, but going from boys and girls living across the hallway to the same room is not going to be that radical of a change. It's already occurring in the community, bringing it into the residence halls. And for my BS Airport result, I say that the student assembly mandates that the Department of Campus Life immediately undertake general neutral housing upon the passage of this resolution, allowing undergraduates to choose their roommates regardless of sex in the residence hall. I use the word mandate because in the charter it says that we have the legislative authority over the policy of the Department of Campus Life, and the SA charter has been approved by the president under the authority of the trustees. So we have the power to legislate upon campus life. So I use the word mandate, and I ask you guys to not amend this word to suggest, request, but that we use our authority and we keep it in this resolution as mandate.
Okay. That is
my time for the chair.
The speaker's list is now open. Vice President Slick.
You know, initially when you sent this resolution to me, I did some research about it, and I read a lot of articles. And I have to say, initially I was against it, but once I started reading a lot more about it, it's not just an issue for, you know, heterosexual couples to live together or transgender students to live together. I mean, there are also situations where siblings can live together or, you know, best friends from home, you know, they just want to live together. But a lot of the opponents for this, you know, general neutral housing say that there are threats of sexual harassment. What are your thoughts on that? And also, do you propose this for every residence hall? So you could be potentially have general neutral housing on one side of the hallway and not the other, or just for one specific residence hall?
I'll answer the second one first. I'm proposing this for all residence halls, with the exception of the ones that are endowed that you have to have all females, like balls. Not to force it upon them to be balls, but it's just money purposes for that reason. And for the first one, as in lawsuits involving sexual harassment, rape, and those types of things, I feel it's under the rationale of the students, especially the female, if they choose to live in the residence hall with the opposite gender, then they've made that choice. Both would make the decision to live in the dorm together. And we're not changing anything like this. It's already occurring off campus to where members of the opposite sex can live together.
I think that argument really has to be thrown out because you can drink, you can do drugs outside of campus. I mean, just because you can do one thing on campus doesn't mean it has to be mandated for campus. My concern is also, what happens if you have a couple who comes in and they have a relationship, but then the relationship goes sour, and this is for a homosexual couple or a heterosexual couple, and they're concerned about saying something, the relationship ends, and it becomes an abusive relationship, an abusive environment to live in. And what if the person is scared? I mean, I think that poses a lot of risks to the people that are in the relationship, in the room. What are your thoughts on that?
These are issues that already occur in the residence hall and are RA and forget the term for graduate students on the left. GRS, thank you. They are trained in these sorts of situations. And for members of the LGBTQ community that already choose to live together, RA and GRS are trained to deal with one another.
Time's up. Vice President Gay.
Hey, Vince. A couple quick questions. Have you spoken extensively with members of the Campus Life Department regarding this, other than Joe?
I have not spoken to members of Campus Life because I felt it was not necessary because we have legislative authority.
So you haven't gotten a feel from any senior administration officials or that department on how they would view this resolution?
Nope.
Okay. Secondarily, I mean, your one answer to the question about if what happens if it increases the incidence of rape or sexual harassment, and you say, well, it chose to live there. That's not a good answer. So my first question is, are there any statistics either way
from colleges, which universities, which did change their policy to allow this to happen. On what if there are any increased instances of harassment?
I do not have any specific comments as of currently, but I'm sure I don't think we're voting on this today.
Okay. Well, yeah, you could look into that. The last thing is...
Just a quick point of information. It's now under business of the day, so it can be voted on.
Okay.
Secondarily, how often happens in campus life that the Cornell or residence hall, when you mark on the sheet, you choose to live with somebody of one gender or one affiliation, and then you get placed with somebody else? Because you can certainly foresee an opportunity and occurrence.
What do you mean by mark?
What's that?
I don't understand what your question is.
Okay, how often at Cornell in the residence halls it happen for somebody when they choose to live in a certain situation with certain people that they don't get their first choice, and so they end up being placed with people that they want to live with? Let's say freshmen getting placed on West Campus, or somebody who wanted to live in JAM being placed somewhere else.
For the housing lottery, what I'm interested in is you in the housing lottery and this freshman are allowed to request a roommate. If both people request to live together and they are of the opposite gender, then they are allowed to live together. That's not a question.
Okay. Due to the number of people on the speakers list, I'm going to shorten question times to 90 seconds. The next member is Representative Asker.
Thank you. Okay, so I think the theory that this is a good idea, but I have some questions about its feasibility. So I see Adler's points about contact and so on. I understand that you want to test for legislative authority. I've been told that if you test it, that we may lose it. So that's one qualm that comes to me at first. But still, I have some efforts on that. But I guess the thing that comes to mind, me being a third year RA myself, is that if you're putting freshmen into a community where, for example, if you live in an apartment with someone, you choose to live with those people so you're comfortable because you make them become a proper classroom. But if you're in a first-year community, what if someone doesn't want to share a bathroom with someone of the opposite gender, if they're not comfortable with that, but they're still forced into that situation? That's one thing that comes to mind. Another thing is, in Ryan and Ivy, if you guys remember this from Ivy Council conferences, I know that we've talked about Dartmouth, and I think Dartmouth is only a certain residence hall. I don't think it's instituted across the board. And so one thing that I would suggest is that
30 seconds.
Perhaps we look at starting conversations with campus life to see if they're open to this, and perhaps trying to get certain buildings first to see how it goes over. Because I think you have to have the option for people who want to live in housing conditions just for gender. Just because you should have the option if you want to live in gender neutral housing. So I think it's interesting to do both. But I would say that I understand something that's a very good vote. I would say that we probably shouldn't. Maybe we should go and get more classes into the housing and residence committee.
Representative R. Salem.
I'm just going to make this quick. First of all, so with one requesting a gender neutral housing, do they have to request them specifically or just say, I just want an opposite gender?
The understanding is they would have to request them specifically, as in two people of the opposite gender who requested, and it would be binding. If I requested female and female requested me.
No, by name, that's
binding by that individual.
I'm just against it just because, people in the heat of the moment, it'll be uncomfortable, think about just changing the thing. The only reason it would be, attributable is for, people in relationships. But other than that, I don't see why it would be. Maybe limiting it to one with one.
Time's up. Vice President Lavin.
Yeah, I kind of want to echo what Representative Masley had said. There are a lot of factors that come up. This just opens up a lot of factors when it's great. It's just not, I don't see it as very future security secure thing that campus life can do. And in regards to off campus, yes, students can live with opposite-sex individuals off campus. And in fact, the university can help them now because we have an off-campus housing office. So, in a sense, the university can assist with that process. I don't think it's responsible, and I just don't think it's responsible for the university to do, and I don't think campus life would do it. But I would agree to speak with campus life. Yes, we do have legislative authority, but it's not productive to say because we have this within mandated. So I would motion to table this, and I would encourage you to speak to a campus life representative and then come back with some information from their part as well. Additionally, I'd like to table the outstanding resolutions as well. Because
four and five, not six.
Resolutions four and five, sorry. To speed the process up, we have our own funding hearing staff.
Second. There's a motion on the floor to table resolutions three, four, and five. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay.
So for now, I motion to table this resolution. Also encouraging Representative Hartman to contact the campus life representative.
Second.
All right. There's a second. Is there any dissent?
I'd like to answer some of the questions.
Okay. So we're going to move to a vote. This requires a simple majority.
Second.
Second.
So there's still a second. Is there still dissent?
Dissent.
Okay. We'll move on to a vote then. All in favor of tabling Resolution 3, please raise your hand. It just moves on to the next one. It could be at the end of the meeting, too. It could be called back. That's clerk count. 10. And how many do we have here right now? 18. Okay, so all opposed to tabling? All opposed to tabling. All opposed to tabling, raise your hands high. All abstained? 0 abstentions. So the motion passes. So Resolution 3 is now tabled. We now move on to Resolution 4.
Motion to table.
Second.
There's been a motion to table Resolution 4. There's a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. We move on to a vote. All in favor of tabling Resolution 4, please raise your hand. Because we have a bylaw funding hearing today, and I think that people want to... We moved it up that in the event that we had extra time, we would have something to discuss today because there are a number of resolutions here. But we're because the member that's presenting six is in the audience and is not a member of the SA. That's fine. Okay, so there's been a motion to table Resolution 4.
Second.
There's a second. Any dissent? Seeing
none.
Yes. Are you Resolution 4?
We'll do a vote.
Okay, moving to a vote. All in favor of tabling Resolution 4, please raise your hand.
Keep your hands up.
All opposed? Resolution 4 is tabled. Moving on to Resolution 5. I'm going to motion to table Resolution.
I motion to withdraw my resolution from the table. For now.
Resolution 5?
Yeah, we don't have the motion for that. You can just withdraw your resolution. So you just withdraw your resolution?
For now, but we can bring it up again.
So, yes.
From business to the day.
Okay. Noted. Okay, we're on to Resolution 6.
Dissent.
There's been a motion to table Resolution 6. Is there a second?
Second.
There's been a...
It's 520. So you have to do 525.
We'll find out what everybody thinks. So there's been a motion to table Resolution 6. There's been a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
There's dissent. Okay, so we're going to move on to a vote. All in favor of tabling Resolution 6, a resolution regarding the SAFC attendance policy, please raise your hand. 4. All opposed? Okay, so 10 opposed. So we're on Resolution 6, resolution regarding the SAFC attendance policy, sponsors, Representative 6. Commissioner Chernofsky, Ehrlich, and Donovan. Kelsey, thanks for being here. You guys have 5 minutes for yourself.
This is a very short resolution. We adapted to the policy to better serve the more detail.
So our oldest policy was if you miss three meetings that are on the street, 5, you need to get 5. Before the commission,
sent me an email.
Yeah, I'll send you an email. Meetings are important, and the value go up based on the importance of the event, such as your details and such as that. And once you reach 5 points, you would get an email warning from the DC internal saying that you're about to reach our attendance policy. And at 7, you get voted on by the patient. Whether or not you stay, if it seems that you stay, you retain your couple points, and then you're brought up again at 9 points. And if you meet again the next day, you are allowed to miss 11 points. You're allowed to stay like a full level 1 before you're formally kicked off the FDA.
Okay, anything else? Okay, there's a speaker's list. First speaker is Representative Hartman. There's a motion to call a question. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
There's a dissent. Take 20 seconds and explain your dissent.
I just realized that this resolution is in conflict with our standing rules, which supersede your charter. So the attendance policy that we have automatically applies to SAFC. In accordance with Section 1 rules 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So the attendance policy, you don't have an attendance policy, it's our attendance policy, which is half absences and full absences being accrued and the VP for internal operations applying. So basically we have standing rules. So the standing rules the charter supersedes the standing rules.
Can you read standing rules you're referring to?
That each committee has their own.
The committee chair can set their own attendance policy.
It says that in the charter.
This is our student assembly.
It says in attendance.
Point of order. To the best of my knowledge, correct me if I'm wrong, committees have the right to make their own attendance policy, including SAFC.
All committees.
All right, well, here's what we're going to do for today. Based upon historical precedent, how many years in the past has the SAFC had their own attendance policy, to the best of your knowledge? As many years as you know. So last year, right, was approved, and the year before that. So at least in the last 3 or 4 years, we've had its own attendance policy. Okay. So for right now, we're going to move ahead, assuming this is constitutional by our charter. I'm going to take questions regarding the actual substance of this resolution itself. And the next person on the speaker's list, actually the speaker's list is empty, Representative Asbury.
So, about the substance of this, I was just wondering, this kind of goes into just a bit about the substance. The first paragraph in the policy says, any commission may take the SA, which can overrule the decision of the SA, to by majority of the vote. Does this kind of talk going to the idea of constitute what it's called? Is it like the constitution? You tell it right. It goes to the
constitution. What? What was passed on to
this is our chart.
Yeah, the only thing I'm asking is because, like, I think we have to, like, for us to authorize committees, our work our committee is a different standard. But I'm wondering if we looked at that and what else we could have figured out and we approve this next week, would it be detrimental to us? Or is it a tennis ball? So we didn't go into effect.
You're referring to this.
Okay. One information to the chair. Do you feel comfortable going ahead and potentially approving something that can potentially might be in conflict? The problem that I see with this is like, then they have to redraft some of the resolutions and come back again next week, or if we just fix it and then approve it immediately next week, we can draft it out.
4.2. All committees can written their standing rules, including penalties for misdemeanor.
All right. I'll just point out to me. From the charter 7.4.2, I read, all committees shall submit a list of standing rules at the beginning of their operation to the committee on committee structure. Standing rules will include any procedures, including but not limited to voting rights, technique, penalties for missed meetings and modes of operation that are different from those outlined in the committee manual. So as I read this, this means that the SAFC attendance policy is in line with our charter. There might be an inconsistency in our charter, but that shouldn't penalize the SAFC. What I'm more concerned about right now is consistency with previous years. I think at any level of law, it is okay to work off of historical precedent. What I'd like to do right now is go ahead. If we choose to approve or disapprove these rules, we can always go back and change them to find that they are, in fact, in common with the charter.
Don't we have to overrule the decision of the committee by two-thirds still and disapprove of the committee's actions to fulfill two-thirds of the charter?
If we go ahead and bring a resolution back up, I think it would only take a simple majority. To disprove that, to disprove what you're referring to is to disprove a committee's recommendation,
right.
Not just a resolution regarding a committee.
Right.
So this doesn't fall into that category. If SAFC came up, and this is regarding like an SAFC appeal, to the best of my knowledge, right? An SAFC appeal comes up, you make your recommendation. It would take two-thirds of the SA to go ahead and disprove what the SAFC said regarding that particular club. What we're referring to right now is a standing rule for the SAFC's charter, which only takes a majority.
So I call a question.
So it's going to call a question. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing no dissent, resolution.
No, that was the vote.
My mistake. Okay, we'll move on to a vote. All in favor of approving Resolution 6, please go ahead and raise your hand. All opposed? And all abstaining. Okay, Resolution 6 is approved. Thank you. Okay, before we move on to the SA budget hearings, we're going to take a 5-minute recess. Be back here, ready to go. 5 minutes. We're going to start the process.
Thank you.
We're going to get going in 2 minutes.
What?
Hey, I'm done. I met you once before. Just never.
Oh, maybe we should.
I met you in the middle of the
road.
Yeah,
we got some great interest drummed up.
Yeah.
Right here. Yeah. Hey, ready? I saw that look. I know you can do it. Come on.
How about your birthday? Personal thoughts? Whatever.
I do not.
Ronnie's quote of the day? Yes.
I was telling you about it. Yeah, I was thinking
about it. You don't have to. Okay. We're going to call this meeting in order. We're on business of the day. We left off with the student assembly's allocation of 2008-2010 student activity fee. At this point, the first group coming for the student activity fee hearings is going to be CUEMS. So at this point, Vice President Gay and any representatives from CUEMS that are here, please go ahead. Come to the microphone. I can speak from back here. Okay. The way this is going to work for the remainder of bylaw funding, since this is the first organization coming before the SA, Vice President Gay is going to give us a quick synopsis of what our responsibilities are here. It's all outlined in the charter. We all should have read it before this point, but it's going to refresh us. Something to keep in mind is that Vice President Gay is going to briefly introduce the group. The group, in this case COEMS, is going to have 5 minutes to make their own presentation, at which point Vice President Gay is going to reiterate the recommendations of the Student Assembly Appropriations Committee. At that point, I'll be taking questions from any members of the Student Assembly, any liaisons, or any members of the community. And I'm going to allow those questions to last for 90 seconds.
Towards appropriations or towards you? Towards the...
90 seconds towards any member here. For the
project. That's one more. So, rebate the issue. Or is this a question that we're going to be looking at approving what appropriations recommended?
Yes. So, if you're voting yes, you're voting to approve what appropriations recommended. Okay, so at this point, Vice President Gay, why don't you give a brief synopsis of Appendix B?
Yeah. Are we doing it? Yeah. Okay, thanks, Alan. Thanks for coming, guys. This is the first group, obviously, that we're hearing during this bylaw funding cycle. We had heard three groups on Monday evening. And the way we're going to try to run this process this year is pretty much what Alan said. Right now, for CUEMS, we're voting, eventually we'll be voting to approve the recommendation in the SA Appropriations Committee, which for CUEMS was unanimous vote to fully fund CUMS at their requested amount of $3.36 per student. And once again, that was a unanimous decision by the Appropriations Committee. They felt that the application and the services provided by CUMS and this place on campus certainly warrants funding. We discussed multiple issues that appeared in the budget. And so if anybody has any specific questions about the meeting on Monday, you can go ahead and ask me at any point. But I think that's a pretty good wrap up. This is a pretty straightforward application. So at this point, I think it makes sense to turn it over for a few minutes, five minutes, to CMS, and they can introduce the group activities and just give a brief synopsis of the budget and requests.
All right.
1 minute left. Okay, great. Speakers list is now open. Any speakers from the assembly or from the general population? Representative Asgard.
Thank you guys for being here. So a couple of questions for you about the budget and looking at like the second class stage. I remember that when you guys came up with funding 2 years ago, a lot of the members had an issue with underfunding the first list as a piece of vehicle. Because they said that I'm not really sure if this is going to be purchased or $5 million on a new vehicle. So, since 2 years ago, did you guys use that part of your budget just for a future vehicle? Did you use that at all?
We're just using the vehicle in 2000.
Yes. And that's the way we've done it for the last 3 years. So, the $5,000 that went for a future vehicle in the last 5 months, like, what is that going to be? Okay, just added on. I see, okay. Another thing is on the training last year, this National Collegiate Conference cost. I don't know if they came up with the MS last year, but I remember when Hagen came up with funding last year, there was a big issue with a lot of money spent on sending a few students to conferences that all the students that the university was paying for. So do you know how many students actually go to these, how many EMS employees or EMS people go to these conferences?
We send 10 members every year.
Time's up. Representative Hartman.
We continue with that very question about the conference. Do any members that go to the conference pay a portion of the conference?
Yeah,
we can drive ourselves to the conference here, so we can be talking about all the costs that you tell us to come up here, the way we're going to be able to support the government on the front of the non-profit organization. We use that money for another question. So the gasoline expense for the expected 2007-2008, I believe you put 2,500.
To clarify, that was what the projected
You estimated 2007-2008, 2,500 for gasoline. And then for 2008 to 2009, you're at $5. Why is there a projected increase of
200% in gasoline prices? Well, it's I'm not sure what the
Next up on the speaker's list was Vice President Slick when he withdraws us off from the speaker's list. Anybody else for the speaker's list? 9 seconds. Yes. Anybody else on the speaker's list? Any motions on the floor? Representative Asker. Second speaker's list now. Representative Asker.
Our membership of
Representative Stabler?
Call the question.
Just going to call a question. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? Okay. See no dissent. We're going to... All right. Summarize this up real quick. If you vote yes, you're voting to uphold appropriations decision to fully fund CUEMS. If you vote no, you're rejecting appropriations decision. It requires a simple majority to pass. Before we move on to the vote, I'll give the group 60 seconds if you want to close, make any closing statements. Also give Vice President Gay 60 seconds as well on behalf of the Appropriations Committee.
Thanks, Lon. Once again, I should remind all the Assembly members that Appropriations did vote 15-0. Voted unanimously to fund the group fully at 3:30.
Okay. At this point, we're going to move on to a vote. All in favor of voting to uphold Appropriations decision to fully fund CUEMS, please raise your hand. This is a roll call vote. I'm sorry. So.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, great. Thank you guys. Appreciate you coming by.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just because we have some time, so I have a good question. It's kind of directed to the pattern, but
I'll be the answer.
So, it kind of says that the entire expanded budget should be considered open legislation until December 1st, until we finally couldn't give us like the summary of the entire thing. And so, when Michelle presented this in 2 years ago, Michelle came up with something that said, we're going to try to keep the speed within this much money, like total. This is our goal. I don't know. Can you like talk a little bit about if you have a goal, how much approximately you want to keep it out? And do you have a figure? Because all the groups have submitted their budgets by now. So can you tell us like how much is the cost and how much the fee would be if you approved all of them to total amount? And how much do you think you actually like, how much your percent increase you actually should say that you want to do? And it's kind of high right now.
It is.
So I don't know if you can give your thoughts on that.
We still haven't come to a firm decision on that. We've been talking about that every week, especially the last couple of weeks as the filing funding process has begun. But obviously, I reminded the Appropriations Committee that they need to take a look at the process from a holistic perspective, not just group by group by group. So otherwise, it'd be easy to get a bunch of money down. Which we...
I think this is just 32%.
All right.
It'd be well above 200, correct? And that's,
do you know how much is it in the
budget? No, I actually haven't gone through that. I can do that, but... What's that?
Just discussing the groups that are goals are for today.
This is the kind of stuff we normally talk about at like e-board and whatnot. When we talk about like, you know, what the goal
is. I would be more...
This is more of an executive board discussion.
I'd be more amenable to that.
We're not going to do that now. We're not going to kick all the people that are here in the stands right now. First of all, second of all, put the pizza down, please. Not seriously. We're going to have a quick discussion here about professionalism, too. Because when individuals come in here and are applying for tens of thousands of dollars of the money that we're supposed to be distributing to them, they're expecting a certain degree of professionalism. All right? Hey, I'm guilty of it, too. I'm sitting here trying to casually pick up a cookie. But the bottom line is that if they get denied, they're going to look for very specific things that we did wrong. All right? Looking clueless is one thing. Looking unprofessional is another. All right, we need to focus on the way that we're appearing to the people that are coming in here, and it's going to be like that for the rest of the semester too. Here's your warning now, and I'm going to call you out on it in front of everybody if I see it again. And that's the only warning.
Hold on, I would move for a 5-minute recess as we have called this, so everybody can once again familiarize themselves with the next two budgets which are being presented.
That's fine.
And the thing, we'd also run to the bathroom just because I could foresee the next couple groups taking a little bit longer. So just once again, while we do have this 5-minute break.
We're gonna take 5 minutes now. Be here in five. You're not adjourned yet. You're gonna take 5 minutes. Be back here in five. Take a little pride in your organization, please.
I would suspend, actually. I think we need to discuss where we want the student activity to go.
This is discretion of the chair. We're in a 5-minute recess.
Motion overruled the chair.
There's a motion overruled decision of the chair. Is there a second?
Second.
You second his motion to overrule the chair to move into a recess. Is there any dissent?
Dissent.
There's dissent. All in favor of moving to a motion to overrule the chair regarding a recess, please raise your hand. All opposed? All right, you need two-thirds to overrule the chair. Oh, don't have
to.
Give 5 minutes. Hey, Ben, can I speak to you after a second?
Yeah. Do you mind speaking after we're done with this?
Okay. I got an email, and I talked to her. Yeah. Thank you.
charter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that wasn't mine.
Okay.
What? No, I think that was Adam.
Not a problem.
I thought it was like
listening.
I got something to ask.
Well, Basil in his first couple meetings as a member, like he would come in, he'd be like really early. He'd take his iPod out and you know, he'd be jamming.
Oh, really?
People like,
that
was
you guys don't do that again.
Well, because I had a class that ended at 4:25 or something like that. So it was too much. There was not enough time for me to go all the way.
Right, now I gotta do that.
So I just took a nap on one of those couches right there. I said, put some music on. That was fun.
Oh, and you're not in my group now, are you? We're doing three, not five. Fine, man.
What's up?
You guys
are doing really good.
Kind of sad.
Really good.
I'm going to go first in the direction.
So, on. I spent 2 hours today.
I'll talk to you.
What's
going
on,
man?
Oh, okay. Stuff like that.
Wrestling always wins. Kind of thanks for. Oh, did you do it last year? Thanks for giving Theta a plug at
my time.
I
know. I
really, really appreciate that.
As soon as it was done, I was like, oh, shit, I forgot to say who was sponsoring. Wait, it's coming right. I felt bad. I can announce it at the end. Dude, would you like that? I don't know. It's too late now. I'm going to go home and try it.
The decisions we make, the things we regret.
Is that what you guys are doing?
No.
Oh, okay.
I'm not that rude.
Yeah, you gotta run a relay over there by yourself.
Call this meeting back to order at 6:02. Next up, for the student assemblies and activity hearings, is Group Minds Matter. This is an eligibility hearing. This is the Minds Matter crew over here. At this point, multiple representatives from your group, please go ahead and move up to the microphone. Okay. So just real quick, just give you a brief rundown how this is going to work. I'm going to turn this over to Vice President Gay. You'll remember him from the Appropriations Committee meeting. He's going to introduce your group. He's going to give a brief synopsis of what the Appropriations Committee is, what the decision was. At this point, you'll have about 5 minutes to come back, explain your organization, why it is you're applying for, or why it is you're here for eligibility. He's going to go over all the eligibility rules to make sure everybody in the SA is on the same page. We'll throw some questions at you from the student assembly. If I cut you off, I'm not cutting you off. We have a 2-minute time limit, so if somebody asks a question, we can have 2 minutes back and forth. And then we'll have some closing statements and we'll vote. Are there any questions at this point?
Yeah.
Sure. No problem. Okay, so at this point, though, Vice President Gay.
Good.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming to speak with us, guys. The basic thing that's going to happen today is we're going to be deciding whether Cornell Minds Matter is a group eligible to receive byline funding. So, once again, this will be at the discretion of the chair, but I'd like to remind everyone to limit the scope of your questions strictly to eligibility. As long as they're approved, Minds Matter will be heard again next week regarding their actual funding. So, once I go through the 9 eligibility requirements, just keep those in mind as you listen, inform questions. And anything else can be addressed next week. On Monday evening, the Appropriations Committee heard Minds Matter, and by unanimous vote, 15-0, recommended that they be approved as a group eligible to receive byline funding. They are the only new group applying this year, so this will be the only time that we actually have a eligibility hearing. But going forward, if they are, like I said before, if they are approved today, and once again next week, we'll be hearing again, just like we hear every other group which has been funded in the past. So. And just very briefly, the 9 requirements. You have a copy of the charter in front of you. I'm not sure if you do. This is listed near the end on the appendices. The eligibility requirements are A, directly and primarily serve, benefit the entire undergraduate Cornell community. B, allow all students equal access to services under participation. C, request as part of their annual operating budget at least 50 cents per student per year from the SAF. D, if a new applicant presents a petition of 1,500 registered undergraduates to the student assembly. And furthermore, the group needs to be a registered student organization, student-directed, student-led, possess a university operating account with internally controlled funds, have a Cornell employed advisor with oversight of its accounts, and finally, be previously funded by either the SAFC, student assembly, or the university department for at least 2 semesters. And once again, the assembly, the student assembly provisionally voted unanimously 15-0 that the group did, in fact, meet all of these criteria. And so at this point, I'd like to turn it over to you guys. If you want to spend 5 minutes at the lunch, I just introduce yourself to the group and just talk a little about what you do. Thanks.
And the college report suggested that university collaborates with Cornell.
You have 1 minute left. Great, thank you very much. We're now going to accept questions. Just keep in mind, as Adam said before, all we're dealing with right now is the eligibility of Minds Matter. This is not a funding request, just whether or not Minds Matter qualifies to receive Vylon funding. So the speakers list is now open. Representative Asbury.
Hi there. So I have a couple questions. First is, what is the you guys have? Can you give me a range?
Unfortunately, we're limited to 2 minutes right now. However, if he poses a question to you, you're more than free to respond.
Just a point of clarification from the Senate. We have to also file on the MGOC, which is also available. It has a small number of people that are involved in the system. So it's sometimes very accessible that absolutely has a small subset of the community.
Okay, I'll just direct these comments for the whole assembly. Thank you, Lance. Vice President Slickman.
I just wanted to give you guys some opportunity to respond to what Representative Asbury said, so I yield my 2 minutes to you guys.
Yes.
Anything else to add, or? Thank you, guys. The general foreign population, Guy Mazza is a member of the Student Assembly Appropriations Committee. He wishes to speak as a general ex officio SA member.
In the mic.
Thank you, Guy. Vice President Lavin.
Yeah, I would sort of just like to echo some of those statements and sort of respond to Matt's deck, even though some of it is relevant at this point. But in response to, you know, how many students it directly affects, I think that, I don't know if it's necessarily fair to say in terms of, well, for example, EMS, I don't know how they might serve directly, you know, people that need medical attention, a very small number of the undergraduate community, but everyone who potentially could get hurt has their service yet. Just like if a student is going through a hard, difficult time a certain semester, they could potentially use the service of Minds Matter. So a lot of it is hypothetical. So potentially Minds Matter can serve the entire undergraduate population. At, you know, and I know they're very similar to ears, but sometimes students don't feel like going to a counselor. This is a venue where I really feel like students can exploit. And in that sense, and in others, I think they're eligible, and I would motion to vote at this point.
It's been a motion to vote. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. You want to take 20 seconds and describe your dissent?
Well, I know that people feel like it's eligibility, so we should just vote on it. But I really have important points I would like to even ask Vice President Lavin. I'm prepared to suggest to withdraw the motion.
I withdraw.
Okay, Vice President Lavin withdraws his motion. Representative Salem, you're actually next in the speaker's list anyway, so your 2 minutes starts now.
Thank you. I want to preface this by saying that I've worked with Brunel Minds Matter before. President Fuda put on events together a couple of times, so I really appreciate and respect your organization. Before we move any further, I just want to point out that one of the eligibility requirements is that you receive at least 50 cents per student. Now, this is not a funding issue. I'm talking about an eligibility requirement to get this grade. And, you know, the fact of the matter is, your budget presented to us shows that if you use about $4,000, to, let's say maximum use $5,000, okay? Do you think your organization has been effective for the past couple of years? Yes or no? Okay, so if your organization has been effective operating at that budget, there is no justification for us to vote yes on eligibility when you have not shown us that you need a substantial increase. Can you tell me why you need a substantial increase? But don't you think that any organization, if they have 13,000, like I'm a president of Cornell Republican, if we have $30,000, I mean, by God, most will be conservative by the end of this year. Like, it's like, any organization can maximize their effect by having money, but why, I mean, if you're sitting in my position, why should I vote to give you the eligibility to receive at least $13,000 when we haven't budgeted for that?
One sec, one, just
point of order. Representative Stanton, could you just clarify which particular point of eligibility these questions are directed to?
It's the one that when Adam was mentioned, he said that they need...
Cochran, I'll say you more than happy to read it.
Number 3, letter 6.
Letter C. It says, in order to be considered eligible for byline funding, organizations must request, as part of their annual operating budget, at least 50 cents per student, of which they have.
And just a quick point of clarification. So you said you were referring to $13,000 that they'd be receiving. It's actually 50 cents per student,
okay.
So it'd be about
3 cents. So, I mean, even then, you haven't gotten close to that number in my mind. So I don't know if my time is up, but I want to give them, like, some time to respond to this. Why should I, as a member of the SA, vote for you to give you this? Because it's an exclusive privilege. It's not a right for you to receive byline funding. Why should I give you this?
Okay. Just as a quick point of information here, this is very much a black and white issue regarding the fact that they did request 50 cents per student. It's not a matter of whether or not they deserve 50 cents per student.
Well,
the eligibility criteria.
How is that
different? It's different because if they.
If they don't deserve 50 cents, then what do we do next week?
Next week's discussion is whether or not they deserve the money they requested for. This week's discussion is whether or not they're eligible based upon how much they requested. And they did request at least 50 cents per student.
I don't think you're understanding my point.
No, I do understand your point. Your point is, what's the difference between requesting 50 cents?
I'm saying that if you request 50 cents, but we can see from your budget that you don't need it, then we can rule.
That's the question. That's a question. That's a question for next week.
Point of order. The speaker's time has expired.
This is not a, again, let's reiterate this point. Stop. Reiterate this point. The point right now, eligibility, that they requested as part of their annual operating budget at least 50 cents. My question for the group, did you request at least 50 cents per student? And that's a black and white issue.
Just hypothetical,
no. No, because they have to receive at least 50 cents per student. So then if that's what you find next week, then we're going to have to go back and revisit that point. But for right now, it's a black and white issue of whether or not they have eligibility for student activity. If you're not going to have a back and forth, that's the point right now. Your speaker's time has expired. I'll give the group 60 seconds to respond to any points that Representative Salem might have made that you want to respond to. That's about 60 seconds. Thank you.
I just want to bring to the chair, when we're voting, we're not judging whether the group deals an important issue or not, correct?
We're voting whether or not they're eligible based upon the 9 points. That's fine. That's noted. Representative R. Salem.
Second.
He's going to call a question or second. Second. Any dissent? There's dissent. Yeah. You would take 20 seconds and describe dissent.
Just for clarification. I agree that it's black and white, that it's eligibility is not, but if we don't decide now and we wait until next Thursday, the SSC funding packets are due by the 11th. So if we don't decide now, they would therefore become ineligible for SSC.
Is it possible for it's possible for the Student Assembly to overrule the Student Assembly Finance Commission's charter, is it not?
Yes.
If they miss the SASC deadline, it can come before the SA first particular appeal.
They're not getting the money from us this year anyway.
Their budget for this year. That's fine. Good. Okay. So there's a motion on the floor. There has been a dissent. Do you withdraw your dissent? Dissent withdrawn. There was 3 people left on the speaker's list, but there's a motion on the floor that's going to be entertained. So now we're going to you dissent based upon the fact that there's people still on the speaker's list. Okay. So we're going to. Okay, well, we're going to vote to vote. All in favor of moving to a vote on the eligibility of Minds Matter, please raise your hand.
Five.
11. All opposed? And all abstain. Okay, so we're going to vote. If you vote yes, you vote to uphold the Appropriation Committee's decision that Cornell Mines Matter is eligible to receive student activity fee funding. Sure. Before you start, you all can take 60 seconds. Any final statements you might have, any closing remarks? Thank you. And Vice President Kay.
Yeah, and just once again, I'd like to reiterate the decision of the Appropriations Committee, which voted unanimously that the group did, in fact, meet all of these criteria. And it is, in my opinion, it's pretty objective, not a subjective thing, whether they did or did not request that they did. And the Appropriations Committee found very clear that they do, in fact, meet the eligibility requirements, and anything else can be addressed next week.
Okay. Clark. There's a motion on the floor, it's banned. What?
If we find them eligible, should we still not fund them at all?
Yes.
Okay.
Clerk.
Yes.
Stan.
Yes.
Excuse me, Clark.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so Cornell Mines Matter is eligible to receive student activity fee funding. We'll hear from you in the future regarding the actual specifics of the budget and the amount that you will receive, but for now, you are eligible. Thank you for coming by. We appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Okay. The final group for today is Haven, and you guys are all from Haven over here. Okay. I can send a representative or as many representatives as you'd like to the microphone. So just for the group, similar to the previous group, we're going to have Vice President Gay introduce you guys. He's going to describe the opinion of the Appropriations Committee. You all will have 5 minutes to introduce the group, what it is you do, any introduction that you want to make, at which point we'll open up the floor for questions and debate. Do you have any questions about the process? Okay, great. I'll turn this over to Vice President Gay.
All right, thanks for coming, guys. Once again, this is a group applying for funding. They have been funded in the past, so just like the UEMS, we're going to be voting on what allocation you should be given. The decision from the Appropriations Committee was to fund Haven at an amount of $2.06 for students. The decision was made 8-5-2, so it was a split decision. And also keep in mind that Haven applied for $2.75, and during the previous funding cycle was funded at that amount, $2.75, so they weren't applying for an increase. During the executive session on Monday evening, the Appropriations Committee, there were a number of concerns addressed, and the basic reason given by the majority opinion to drop the recommended allocation out to $2.06 was twofold. The first was that Haven has been keeping a balance. They've applied for and received more money than they've spent for the last 2 years, and there were some concerns among some of the appropriations members that they may need to be trimmed back a bit so they don't run a balance on their accounts without any defensible reason. The second concern she brought up was regarding the conference, Creating Change Conference. If you guys have had a chance to look through the budget, the Creating Change Conference was funded, I believe, at a level of $7,300.
Yeah.
The biggest concern that was made by some of the appropriations members on Monday evening was that this is funding for 10 members of the Cornell community, members of Haven, to go to the conference, and some felt that was an excessive number of people to send, and an excessive amount of funding for one conference. And so, stripping away some of the funding from that and dropping it down to a couple members, which would be funded, and then stripping away the carryover balance, which the group has run for the past few years. The appropriations committee once again voted 8-5-2 to fund the level of $2.06.
Hold, this isn't a period for the question and answer right now. Vice President Kay, are you done?
Yes, at this point.
Okay, at this point, the group has 5 minutes. Any kind of statement you'd like, go ahead and time it. Great. Thank you very much. Speaker's list is now open. Vice President Slickman.
Thank you for coming back again. I know it's a pain to come to all these meetings, but we appreciate you coming. The concern that I had on Monday, and I will reiterate this, is we have several speakers coming. There's an honorarium, in some cases as high as $7,500. And I asked on Monday, you know, we have $7,500 for the honorarium, $460 for lodging, you know, et cetera, you can read down. But then when you get to advertising, it's only about $200. And I asked why it was so low, and you had said that there wasn't really a problem with the turnout because, you know, you were appealing to students on the listserv. My concern is that in my opinion, I don't think these groups are open to all students because there's no way to advertise to all of them. I mean, yes, you're sending an email out over a listserv, but how many students are really on those listservs? I mean, if there is a speaker that I may be interested in that I may not necessarily be on the listserv for, and we only have $200 to really appeal to students, there's no way I'm going to find out about that. And it's the same situation for all of them. $200 here, $200 there. You know, whether or not you need the money is one thing, but I just think it's poor planning on your budget. Another thing, another problem with is the Creating Change at Conference. You said on Monday that it could range from 4 to 10 students. So, yes, you did say there's, you know, additional interest, but if it's as low as 4 students, I mean, we could be looking at, you know, $2,000 for lodging. It's a two-night conference for 4 students. We could be looking at $250, $300 a hotel room. I mean, are your participants sharing rooms, or do they have their own room? It's just concerned with the way expenses are allocated and budgeted here.
I'm going to give the group, I was going to say, the group would take a minute to respond to what Vice President Slick would say.
In terms of the advertising, which was brought up on Monday as well, I just want to be hearing that a great deal of our advertising is created, and as I said, the listeners, which I didn't mention, which I should, it's a notice from the significant portion of that funding comes from co-sponsorship, and if this organization does have a sponsorship cap, I'm going to access to all of their listeners, and that can be one thing under that organization as well. And I'm not really sure, I mean, we've had no issues in the past with doing all these things, which is not an advertising. I mean, for example, I'll use their prominent example. There were posters literally everywhere. There was posters in every spot, in every building, cash time shows up ourselves, in every residence hall, there was one on each floor where someone could see it, and that didn't seem close to the community at all. So I'm not really sure how much more we could be doing to advertising without any posters that are necessary and we can't have any problems.
The 60 seconds has expired. There's a lot of speakers on the speakers list that have questions, so you'll have sufficient time to respond. Representative McGovern.
Oh, okay. I was just actually, can I address Adam?
Sure.
Because we've been trying to get him. So you're saying, essentially, if you lower to the recommended appropriation amount, you'll be cutting out about $10,000?
I think we're at $9,000.
Right, okay. So you still said, though, that you would be the recommendation of the appropriations committee was to send some students, but if you cut out the entire carryover balance and also cut out all of the conference, that's about $10,000. So you won't be sending any students to the conference, and you won't be able to do.
Yeah, I believe the majority opinion on Monday, the majority of the appropriations members said that they would take, I believe it was, $5,800 or so from Creating Change, and then the carryover is $2,800 or so, and then that would be almost about $5,600 or $600, and that would be close, and then drop it down to $2.10.
Right, but it would be
$10,000.
So if that was only $8,500, the cut that would be down to
Is it 10,000 or is it from
a point of information?
Yeah.
That cut from the carryover was the average of the carryover.
Oh, that's correct. Yes, sorry. That's right. That was the carryover was the average of the carryover. The 1 year had been 6,000. So once again, I'd just like to reiterate that was just the opinion of certain members of the Appropriations Committee. There were still 5 members who voted against that and 2 members who didn't vote. And so that there was a lot of discussion regarding that.
So 30 seconds left.
Okay. So right now, if we just a voting question, if we vote not to accept the appropriations committee, we can change the number from that also?
You can do that. Okay. Representative Harden.
I have a question for Vice President Day. Could the appropriations committee consider inputting an addendum to their appendix B concerning conferences and how much money they could spend towards conferences?
We We consider that, but the rules state that we can't change dependencies during this semester of the Byline funding semester. So we can add that addendum, but just not during the fall of the fee setting year. So that'd be right now. But that was certainly something else that was discussed, which is another good idea. Because currently there is one of the requirements is, I believe, can't exceed 85 cents per student right now to go towards creating change conference. And there was some discussion. We can discuss that also here.
Okay. Do you know what was the minority of discussion? Contention to that issue?
No.
Is it always the case, like, what some members brought forward?
Well, that would be something that we need to discuss here and then change our appendices.
Okay. I have some other questions.
There was no official recommendation from the appropriation committee on that, simply.
You have 1 minute.
I have some questions for LGBT, I mean, for Jason. For the events in attendance, I was curious as to how many people attended the LGBT fall retreat. Do you know how many people attended the CUGSA LP board just about? Do you know how many people attended Dan's Hall? Homecoming?
Homecoming here from University of Alabama General
Secretary. Thank you. Those are all my questions. Give my time back to the speaker.
Yep. Sir, you had something that you'd like to say. Just introduce yourself, name, where you're from. You have 2 minutes, sir.
My name is Michael Frager. I graduated as a grad in 2005. I currently work for the university. I'm also representative, basically as an unofficial advisor in the Greek system. I support students like the referral for alternative campus life, and RA and stuff like that.
Sir, thank you very much. Representative Asger.
Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to ask this question, which is you guys' response about training practice and other things as well. So I understand the point. I understand the gentleman who spoke. I understand his point. I also understand the point, and I agree with the point of what the president said about cutting the money for the conference because we keep attention 2 years ago when we funded the student summary. So my question to you guys is 30 seconds. What effect does it actually have? Like, what effect does it come from? What does people bring back? What is the effect of the time to change my mind? Right now, it's money with someone. But just give me a quick response to that. Why do you need the money from that?
Well, essentially, what he does is it brings the opportunities for speakers to workshop and just bring experience back to my mind. Usually, people go and get engaged and they will have the opportunity to share their experience and conferences with people such as their group and all of our
others. Something you couldn't do this year? And I guess what I wanted to say to December was first, just one about advertising.
I know they have, like, when I remember, they are a relatively large listserv. I also know that if they, for example, get a sponsorship, a lot of those groups can pay for it. So if you pay about $200 for me, done all right, I get the posting for free for campus life. So that might be one way of how bad I have the budget to cut. But what I would say is, my personal opinion, given how large their carryover is, and given that the conference expenses so much, I mean, if we cut them, basically, calculated, it's about $9,315, which is basically an average of the conferences and an average of the carryover balance. I don't think it's detrimental to this group, and I think it's something that we can do for 2 years experimentally and see if it is detrimental, they can come back and tell us that. That's the whole point about kind of a process, kind of an experiential process. And worst case scenario, I mean, if they do need, if they're a little short on money, they can go for the sponsorship from other groups and make up that money. But I think that the $2 is a wise recommendation on that for deliberation, and I'd advocate that some members vote for that amount.
Okay. Representative Basil?
Real quick, when you say that the should be 300 people, are the same 200 people to attend your events?
I'm not sure about that. I wouldn't say it's the same 200 people all the time. But I mean,
okay. I think touching on CJ's point a little bit, our rationale for the conference was, I guess, basically the fact that, you know, again, looking at the numbers, $2,000 for lodging, if 10 people go, which again is a question, then you're looking at a 3-day conference, as you said. So it's a 2-night, 3-day conference, and that's $100 a night per person, which we thought was excessive. And the whole rationale also in us dropping the money from the conference is that you could send up to 10 people if you wanted, but certain people would have to pay for certain things out of pocket if you wanted to, if, you know, again, you're talking about making sure that people who have the finances to go. I feel that, you know, you could direct money towards those who have greater need, or you could choose to stay in different accommodation. But I feel, again, and that I think those, I'm not going to speak to the appropriations committee, but that was definitely an opinion shared by a lot of members, that it definitely is no inconvenience to the group to come under much, in my mind, much more reasonable budget constraints for the conference in particular. And again, in addition to that, if you look at some of these events, you see hotel fees for $400, $500, $600. Which, I mean, again, a lot of groups on campus are just strapped for, you know, for hotel fees and other expenses, and very plush.
Motion to extend the speaker's time by a minute. It's been a motion to extend the speaker's time by a minute. Is there a second?
Respond, I guess.
This is minutes expired. Guy Mazza had a comment.
Hey, I just want to sort of echo what the other appropriation members, or appropriation committee members, have been saying, and sort of put it in my own 2 cents. I just want to start with comments. This is a point of contention, obviously. The appropriation committee had no problem funding this part of this conference. Between 4 and 10 students go each year. So, I mean, and these are generally the executive board members of the organizations underneath people. So, and I have the president and some other members and whatnot. Okay, so, David actually also sort of expressed that if I were to join AP tomorrow, I would probably not be able to attend the conference, not be any board members, is that correct?
Probably.
Okay, so.
Conference already moved the two board members of the TV group, so that's certainly not the entire Cornell community. I mean, to go back to the advertising thing, the advertising, we don't have a problem with $200 or more advertising, but more, I guess, the follow-up from that. We had asked the these representatives if $200 wasn't enough, what would happen? And they said, oh, we just take money from honorary or something else. So, I mean, they can make sort of a, I guess, more relaxed budgeting procedure than you would like to see, whether it was, I would like to see the number before very soon. Like you guys expressed, if you ran out of money somewhere, you can take it from somewhere else, and then if an event didn't work out, you just pull that money back into something else. Is that pretty much what you do?
Well, generally, I was trying to convey that this is a projected budget. We're trying to look 3 years in the future
and check. And I totally agree with you. It also says that, I mean, if I was doing another country ticket,
let's get a kind of agreement. It's been a motion. Motion of 10 speaker time. Give me 60 seconds.
So, I guess my main point is certainly I have a percentage of projection. I understand I'm not telling you, so I can't predict the future. But you guys seem to be doing the worst case budget, and I think that's in the DSA's best interest to improve that. Our cut, we can build fair, we cut for everything we saw, and it's great that you guys want to make sure you have money for everything, but you have to budget a little bit better and not just, you know, pay for everywhere else. So, thank you, Robert, that way for backing us up, and the other appropriation members,
The organization will take a minute to respond to anything they might want to say at this point.
I just want to tell you a little better how our budgeting works. This format of the budget represents a year with large and diverse opinions. Our own budgeting works a little differently. We have a set of funds that we use to fund all of our events. I just shared with you. We have an administrative fund, which is that comes all the years to fund everything. We have an internal sponsorship, external sponsorship, large events of sponsorship, and so these are all budget details. That's how our budget is divided. It's a little different from that budget line, that budget we're trying to do. So essentially, that budget is trying to do our best guess in terms of what we're going to use where in the next year. Not that we're asking for a worst case budget, we're just trying to divide up. We're trying to change our products to work essentially, which to make it a little difficult to specifically tell you, well, this is going to be how much we're going to spend on this specific line. We won't even know that until we negotiate.
And that's fair. Representative Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess my question to you is this. So you were talking about how it's not, you know, it's not fair to ask students to fundraise for themselves, and I understand the sensitivity to these issues. But I guess my question is, how is it fair for you to require 13,000 students to pay, and then almost not even every member of Haven wants to go pay and go? No, you have to be a member of the people. But how is that fair, and the other one around it? Like, I don't get it. Can you explain that to me a little bit?
I have to apologize. Sunday is just showing that that's not actually the case. I don't have a lot of experience with
the
change.
Okay.
It's actually going to every person's body shape, meet our guidelines.
Okay, now.
Let if you ask a question, just let the speakers answer
the
question.
I'm trying to be sitting at the limit, so if I get the answer,
go to the same time.
Now, for the conference. You said that people who go to the conference sometimes aren't able to fundraise themselves because, you know, they can't face the issues that are up, and again, there's sensitivity to that. But then when they come back, do they like plan workshops at the Cornell community? Like, how does the Cornell community as a whole benefit from 10 people attending the conference? Or not even as a whole, but how does this benefit primarily and directly the undergraduate student population?
Well, again, I was
sure, but your responsibility is to primarily serve the undergraduate population, not just the LGBTQ undergraduate population. I don't know if you have that.
These workshops, or essentially these students who go, are able to bring back workshops, exposing all the different opportunities, these issues of gender and sexuality. There's a lot of misinformation out there, especially among students who've never had any interest in all of those situations. These kinds of workshops are exposing anyone who wishes to come, all of our students.
So,
10 speakers time for 60 seconds.
Yes, yeah, just quickly, what I don't get is this, right? You say that students put on a workshop that any Cornell student can attend, correct?
Yes.
But then you go, so they're comfortable enough to put on that workshop, but they're not comfortable enough to fundraise to go to the conference. I don't get it.
We don't ask the organizer about the event themselves to identify. The event is usually a speaker outside of the Cornell community. The person who went to the conference and came up with the workshop.
So it would be just as effective if they searched on Google, found a good speaker, and brought that speaker to campus, as opposed to spending $7,300 to go to a conference to quote unquote bring a speaker. To be honest, when you say it's not fair, I recognize the importance of this issue, and I recognize the work of Kate, and I think it's a great organization, but I don't recognize how you can impose a standard of fairness upon 30,000 students requiring to take a 20-day
guide. 50 seconds has expired. Lance Paul.
I just have a slightly different perspective on this one. When it comes to that leadership conference,
I want to do that.
I've been lucky enough to go on a bunch of conferences to help them with my leadership abilities and their organization. And they're great. They really are, especially when it comes to, there's a huge difference between hearing the speaker talk to you and trying to do things. And really getting a message from them and looking up a bunch of people on Google and reading about what they do well. And so that can really help. I guess what I don't understand really is why five students couldn't learn about all the programs, including all the speakers, that 10 students would be in. You know, that's a great point. Why not? You know, couldn't three people accomplish the same goals, but really arguing with that 10 people would also accomplish? And that would help us to really get everyone to get the benefit from the conference, which would be good as a cost.
I don't think that three students probably wouldn't be enough. It's not like
Vice President Kay.
All right, I just want to say a couple quick things. Once again, this is now in my own personal opinion, it's not on behalf of the Appropriations Committee. Just to address a couple of points you brought up, it's disingenuous to say that it's not fair to the entire Cornell community for these people to be going on this trip. Because if you want to look item by item on what the student activities and funds, there's a lot of conferences, there's a lot of things which individuals do, which are funded by all 13,000 students, as you like to quote, and I think it's a very worthwhile event. It certainly warrants people attending it. The second thing is the whole point of filing funding is there's many other groups where the reason they're receiving this funding to have these events, to go to these conferences, is that they're not doing outside fundraising for the original few Sloke Day, holding raffles on Hope Plaza to try to pay for a speaker. These groups are filing funded so they can put on these events and bring the speakers here and learn about these issues and expose the rest of the campus to them. And the other thing, just to address one point in my opinion about budgeting, they're doing a fine job of budgeting. Any group which is looking 2 years in the future, Slope Day, CUPB, they don't know exactly right now who's going to be attending, what the requirements of each speaker will be, what events will cost. And so in their best opinion, they're doing that. My major concern, right now the Appropriations Committee has voted to decrease your allocation to $2.06. I would prefer it would be higher than that, but I'm not sure at this point if that's going to happen. So my major concern is, do you think any programming directly on campus, the most direct benefit and access to students in the community, do you think that's going to be affected by this cut? At least at this point, if you did directly trim down the Grade and Change Conference expenditures and took out this rollover balance, do you think the programming and the availability of services to students would be directly affected by this?
Yes.
In what sense?
Largely because, as I said before, that program is the only thing that has access to run programs for these students during the first year of orientation. That is probably the most important time.
them for a minute.
There's no I don't have a budget right for me at the second. There's no other place in your budget and your finances where you feel you would be able to pay for those services.
Well, that's how you have to ask what any other program you're expecting.
Okay. Representative Sarah. Exactly 2 minutes or so. So, the motion to extend the speaker's time. There's dissent. Do you wish for extended time or can you just move? Okay. Representative Ron.
Yeah. Actually, I was just going to ask that question. I understand that it's important to have any individually so that the workshop can be individually extended or whatnot. But has it ever occurred that there have been more than one person from Cornell attending the same workshop, and how many workshops, why do you need 10?
And if you look again at our undergraduate organizations, which is what happened, there are 11 different organizations that each of them is very different to target, and their goals are very different. So let's say, for example, only one person for each of those groups wants to go. Each of those groups is completely different mission, and they probably wouldn't attend any of the same workshops. That's already 11. So essentially, 3 to 5 people isn't necessarily enough to give us a broad range of experience that the conference is more effective than we have.
Yeah, even if you point that we have different missions, I'm sure that their goals are somewhat oriented to the same mission since they are on. So I'm sure through effective communication, you guys can bring the information back to them.
Do you want to respond to that?
I mean, their missions are the same in that they are all attempting to increase the visibility of LGBT communities on campus, but after that, they have almost nothing in common. Some of the organizations are more responsible for educational outreach, some are more responsible for support of the members that are having difficulty dealing with these issues. So again, I just have to reiterate that having sending a few people, perhaps 3 people from one group or one person, just wouldn't give us the range of interest that we need to make the conference worthwhile for the program. That we have more people with a broader range of interest, each focused on their own range and their own goals.
Thank you. Representative Miller.
I'm on the appropriations committee, and I don't remember where did this happen to take place.
Okay. That's the end of the first speaker's list. Before we move on to the second speaker's list, I would just encourage members of the student assembly. We've been discussing the issue of the conferences for some time now. A lot of different points have been brought up on both sides of this debate. There are other points of the budget that should be addressed as well over the course of the second speaker's list. So rather than beating the horse regarding the conference, let's move on to some other points that still might be in contention so that we can air those grievances now so they don't come up as a surprise later on. So moving on to the second speaker's list, I have Vice President Swigman first.
I have 3 points to make, so let me get through them and then you guys can respond to them. The first is, I'm reading your constitution here, and it talks about member organizations. And all member organizations must be registered student organizations, and they receive funding from Haven, correct? Okay. So if you look at every other byline funded group, what's the requirement for a student, an undergraduate student, to receive funding? They have to be a Cornell student, and that's the only requirement. So who goes to Slope Day? Cornell students. Who goes to Cornell concerts? Cornell students. Who goes to orientation? Cornell students. But to receive funding from Haven and to really, benefit from the programs that Haven has, you have to be a member of another organization which receives funding from Haven. And we have no legislative oversight for who can belong to those groups. So we have no idea if those groups are, what the requirements for membership into those groups are. So that's just a concern I think we should keep in the back of our heads. Second point is that you said that when the speakers come, they stay at the Statler. Correct. For the most part.
I am not really sure whether you said they stay.
Okay, so they stay at the Statler. My concern is also, we're spending a lot of money, and this is students' money, some financial aid, hard-earned money, for these speakers to stay at the Statler. What is the fundamental difference between staying at the Statler and staying at the Hilton Garden Inn or the Best Western? I think that is an excessive cost that is just, I don't think it's warranted at all. The third point is, back to the conference, I apologize, President Greenberg, but we spoke about, you said it wasn't fair to ask for these students to go out and fundraise. I could not agree more. It's just not appropriate. This is your fundraising. You're coming to ask us. But if we look at, the Assembly looks at this past precedents. Earlier today, we voted for CUEMS. That only funded part, it was a financial need-based scholarship, which gave money for these students to go to this conference. So, that was...
Motion to extend speaker's time. Is there a second? Give you a minute.
That was based partly on financial need. There's no financial need stipulation to receive the money that the student activity fee gives for these students to go to the conference. So, yes, I don't think you're doing a sufficient enough job. Fundraising is one thing. I don't want student assembly funded organizations to be out on Hope Plaza selling candy bars. But I don't think you're doing a sufficient enough job applying for grants and other university stipends that can also fund these organizations. So I would really look into this, and I would urge the Assembly to really reduce the funding in that area, because I think that Haven can do much more to use funds already allocated to them and to look at grants and other outside sources. I apologize for about 15 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, you can take the rest of his minutes. You have 20 seconds plus 60 seconds if you're going to respond to that.
Hotels.
I don't think all of our students stay at
the
You budgeted for it though. So
okay. 6 seconds has expired. Move on to Representative Hartman.
I just want to clarify one thing that Vice President said. Was that we do have another organization we bought on the just an umbrella in that Atlanta. So they have organizations that are using that they, I mean, we can take that into consideration when we find them,
right.
But they're not getting any organizations. I have a question for Vice President Jay. Were there any lower amounts than 206 that were on the table during this dispute, during appropriations?
The amounts on the table were $2.75, $2.50, $2.25, $2.06, $2, $1.86, $1.66, $1.66, $1.50,
$1.25. Okay, I'm just going to ask the people that were on appropriations if they could say why they want those amounts, and then
that could be time because we did spend a lot of time going through all the different amounts, but in the end, like I said, none of them were accepted, and the only one which gained a majority of votes was the $2 recommendation.
And I have one more thing I want to comment on. All the organizations that are under the agency can apply for SASB funding. And I was curious, do these organizations apply for administrative expenses under SASB? Because then you would, these organizations would be getting an unfair advantage of other organizations, as in one, the Haitian organizations can get their administrative expenses from Haven, and then they can go to the SASB to get more money. Is it in a simple charter, and how do we fix the discrepancy that could result, that could occur?
No, our mission is not generally applying to funding because it's getting the funding from us. That's why we're asking.
For motion of stand by 1 minute, is there a second?
Second.
So you're saying even if you did have your budget, you would encourage your lower groups to seek funding from SASB?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all.
Point of information, I'd like to let everybody here know that you don't have to respond. Anybody who's on appropriations doesn't have to give a rationale. I mean, if they feel they can, they can feel free to, but in our charter, you don't have to. And since the debate was held during the executive session, which was confidential privilege, that they don't have to say why they voted and how much they voted.
I know.
Okay. Guy, I'm out of you're approving the recommendation from the Appropriations Committee, which was 206.
Okay, so are we taking under understanding that the money would be used the way it was presented to us? So
yes. The issue at hand, which was expressed, I'm sorry, sir, I don't remember your name, Eric, that Eric expressed before, was that they used a slightly different funding system. How representatives choose to interpret that is entirely up to them, but they did take pains to make sure that they did present the way that we were expecting to be presented. Representative McGovern.
Okay, I know we didn't want to talk about the conference anymore, but
I won't take this from your time. The only point why I'm trying to channel the discussion a little bit is because we do seem to be coming back to a lot of the same topics, and by the end of the day, we need to have this resolved.
Right.
So I want to make sure that we bring up all the differences as opposed to this one.
Many is why there should be such a large cut, and So everyone, it feels like everyone is saying, well, we understand you need to accomplish the term of people on the run, but you should lessen the number to 3 to 5. If the student assembly takes the appropriations committee cut, that's essentially cutting, $10,000. There's only $7,000 budgeted for conferences. That would cut out the entire conference rate, possibly, depending. Correct? Right, so no one would be going to conferences if we approved the appropriations committee recommendation. So, personally, that's a huge problem to make.
You can respond to that. You have a minute. Okay, now that's a fair point, and just from my point of view, we need to ensure as an organization that the cuts that we are making are in fact addressing the concerns that are being brought up. Again, another reason why we wanted to get off the issue of just the conference. The conference is one point. Can somebody tell me right now, just as a point of information, the amount that we would cut from the conference, what that total would be, and how that would translate into the budget itself? So right now we're down to 206, and that's, $9,000 or $10,000, you said?
$9,300,
but that is more in the conference. So the other $2,000, where's that money coming from?
I believe that was the average amount of the carryover for the last 3 years.
So the average amount of carryover and decision from the appropriations committee would not be acceptable to take carryover from the previous year.
Correct.
Okay. So assuming that there's no carryover.
And one of the most important things that people mentioned was that there was 1 year where there was over $6,000 carryover and they felt that I was excessive budgeting.
Okay. So my question for the group. I try to stay out of these discussions. I don't try to point anything in any direction. I try to stay as impartial as possible. These are just merely factual questions that I have questions about. If that $6,000 from the carryover is taken out of your budget, aside from the conference, where do you see yourself as an organizational treasurer taking that money from? Based upon the budget that you presented to us, what is going to be hurt as a result? Are you going to have one less speaker come? Are you going to have one less social event? Where do you see taking that money out of the budget?
Well, I mean, again, I'd like to just point out that $6,000
Okay, so even $2,000, I mean, that's even a more acceptable point. So that $2,000 that you're not going to be getting, let's say that we choose to vote to uphold appropriations committee, where's that $2,000 going to be coming from out of your budget? Because my question, the reason I'm asking this is because if it comes from something that clearly benefits the entire Cornell community, that's something that we can't do. So my question, where is that coming from? What's going to get hurt? And in your integrity, in terms of, on the integrity of the organization, I mean, what kind of effect is that going to have, long-term integrity of the organization?
I would say that it will decrease the range of students that we have during one.
So if it happens to be that one. Okay. And then my last question, is it fair to say, though, that the e-board is going to make all necessary accommodations to ensure that where the cuts come from, it's going to be cutting from some particular budget that's not going to be detrimental to the organization, that the $2,000 coming away, they're going to do their absolute best of their ability to make sure that this money is not going to make a long-term impact on the organization?
Well, I would say that any cut that we receive will detrimentally impact the organization, of course, not responsible. It wouldn't be responsible
if
people
didn't
try to invest in the
money
to give.
Right.
It would
affect
the organization.
Okay. Lance Pollard. You don't have to remove yourself. Representative Salem.
Just to make a quick point, I guess what I'm not understanding, I just have a question to clarify. When we cut the conference, for example, the cut specifically directed towards the conference, you can't decide to take the money and then still use it for the conference, but then cut something else that we decided not to cut. Is that like clear to your guidelines?
Because
that's shady budgeting right there.
I don't really understand.
Okay, so
that's like how the student assembly's recommendation will take place.
Okay.
I think the question is, should we just vote to decrease our overall allocation?
Sure. No, the way it's done, I guess when I did a few years ago, is you vote on it, and when you, for example, let's say we cut the conference $5,000, that goes into the appendix, so you would have to abide by it. I just wanted to clarify that. That's not a, I don't think I don't think you intentionally meant to like make it sound like that, but you're not allowed to take the money and use it for something else. If the attendant stipulates that we cut the conference, then that means we cut the conference. That means you can't use a violent funding money for a conference.
As a point of information related to the charter, that's to the extent that we can add something to the appendices starting next semester, limiting how the money can be used. The other thing that we do is when, in addition to recommending allocation, we're also approving a budget. The budget is presented to us just like we approve this, like we're looking at the SA budget right now. The way the charter states it is that the assembly is approving a budget and total allocation figures. So yes, in effect, those two methods are the way that we keep, my understanding, that's our oversight over the funding organization.
The speaker's time has expired. Representative Azzieri, yes? Do you have a point?
Right, we can make it. Right, exactly. Just, we can't implement it this semester.
Right.
Yeah.
Representative Sarah.
Second.
Okay, it's going to call a question. It's going to second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent. Right. I'll explain that. Is that a point of order?
Yeah.
What?
Kind of non-elected. I really
don't
know.
Chris.
Sorry, I got it. and so if we don't vote yes, then we move back to
discussion. You have 20 seconds. Yeah, go ahead and take 20 seconds to explain yourself.
I just wanted to ask if Chris, if you can withdraw that, because the actual amount that they billed for the conference is about $3,000 less than what their budget was, their actual budget. So I wanted to ask them about that. So if you can withdraw that, I'm going to do that. And then I think that's what's going to be the budget.
To withdraw the motion. That's what I want to do. Okay, second speaker's lit. Representative Salem. Why have you already spoken?
No, I was going to call the question.
You're going to call if you want to yield your time to Representative Asbury.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so first of all, the carryover, I think the carryover is the same every single year. So whether I get it on the freshman, like on the freshman conversation activities, I think that you guys should have a budget for that in the future and not bank on the carryover. Like putting a $2,000 budget on how much you use the freshman activity, there's some suggestions in the future. Second of all, I think just like DMS, you guys should look at GTSA bottom line, because I know some of your organizations, such as outreach, have graduate students and things as well. So you could benefit from bottom line exactly. The third, this is the conference point, going along with what Guy has said before, is that when you look at your actual budgets in the past 3 years, the Creative Change Conference only billed about $4,200, even though you guys actually billed $7,200 for our budget. The rest of it went to additional conferences. In 2004-2005, you guys also did LGBT Students of Color National Summit, NEJLS Conference, and Gender Pack Conference, the three additional conferences. In 2005-2006, you guys went to four additional conferences as well, which brought the total to 8,600, but Creative Change that year to 5,900. And this past year, you had five people go to Creative Change to 4,200. So, given the 275 allocation, this past year, you guys still only spent five people, even though you're trying to justify it to us now, you spend 10 people. So, given that the past 3 years, you guys have been spending about five, no more than eight people to create a change conference, and your current level of program, your outreach, is not going to be effective, given what you're telling us, in the 275 allocation. I don't understand how you can justify still leaving that money for conference and basically using the leftovers to ditch it to transitional conferences, and then just billing it all on the budget for the $7,600 creating change conference. And therefore, I think that the appropriations committee allocation of 206 and the recommendation is absolutely appropriate, given that they're not even using the full amount of money for that one conference, using a provisional conference, just leaving it left over. And I think that we should approve that and have them come back in 2 years and tell us how that went. And with that, I call a question.
I'm going to call a question. There's a second, then a dissent. See no dissent. We'll move to a vote. However, the group, you can take 60 seconds. Final closing thoughts, closing words, and then I'm going to go over to Vice President and we'll reiterate the appropriation committee decision.
I mean, I'd just like to say I won't directly address the conference because I feel like we should be defending ourselves on that issue, but I think that we have to consider the position of backing up, there's nothing, there's just nothing else that can help us. So I would encourage you to approve our request because we are trying very best to budget tax on the Navy to support the LGBT community on this.
Thank you. And Vice President Kay.
Okay. Just once again, just remind student assembly members what the appropriations committee decided. Once again, it was a very split vote. It was 8-5-2. There were multiple dissenting opinion suggestions. The majority opinion was the $2.06 amount based on the fact that many of the comments you've heard about the conference and this carryover issue. So with that, hold on.
Okay. So if you're voting yes, you're voting to uphold Appropriations Committee's decision to keep the allocation at $2.06. If you're voting no, you're voting to reject the Appropriations Committee's decision. Okay?
Abstain.
Yes.
Lavin proxied, yes.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Yes. Just read off the final vote total.
Eleven to two.
Okay. So the allocation, as the current stands, is $2.06. We very much appreciate your time. Thank you for putting up with the meetings and our questions. We really do appreciate you coming back. Thank you. I actually just want to quickly speak to everybody after this group is.
You
want to
do executive session?
Yeah. We're going to move into executive session, so any community members, Guy, thank you very much for coming. We really appreciate it.
For resolution 5, I actually surprised myself when I started the program for fall break.
The admission fee of undergraduate
students. 4, sorry, 4.
It's 7:30, no, it's going to be, I mean,
you motioned we have to vote to consider.
Sorry, I just...
That's fine. All right, so there's been a motion to, well, Resolution 4 is already under business today. We've moved beyond, we've tabled it. So you have to remove it from the table. So there's been a motion to remove Resolution 4, resolution regarding transfer of student assemblies, bus service, class councils, from the table. Is there a second? There's a second. Is there any dissent? There's dissent.
At this point, this late in the evening, I want to have a thorough discussion around this, and I don't think it's fair with this many members missing that we're going to actually have that discussion right now.
It'll be the first. So we're going to move to vote now. This is Resolution 4, removing resolution.
Sorry, I misunderstood.
Okay, so you withdraw your second. Well, is there a second for his motion? There's been a motion to remove Resolution 4 from the table. Is anybody second? There's a second. Is there any dissent?
Yeah.
Dissent still stays. Now we're going to move on to a vote right now. All in favor of removing Resolution 4 from the table, please raise your hand. All opposed to removing Resolution 4 from the table. Okay. So, it clearly failed. Everybody quiet for a second. So now that's out, everybody's out of the room. I just want to speak to everybody real quick and turn this off.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.